It's time once again here on RNIB Connect Radio to check in with pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow. Hello, Elizabeth, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Toby. I hope you're well as well.
Not too bad. If, like me, you fall just into the over 50s age group, or if you are clinically extremely vulnerable, you may have been invited to book your COVID booster, vaccination and your annual flu jab at the same time. Elizabeth, how safe is it to have the booster and flu vaccinations together at the same time?
Well, funnily enough, Toby, I'm actually going on Saturday being a healthcare professional on the front line. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it is useful to be able to refer to research that's recently been published on this very topic, Toby. And this was concomitant administration of a flu and a COVID vaccination, and it was the second dose. The trial involved 679 participants across 12 sites. The first dose was an Oxford, AstraZeneca or Pfizer. And then when they had their second dose, they were given either a placebo or the flu vaccination in the other arm. Now, 3 weeks later, the groups were switched around. In other words, the placebo group were given a flu jab, whereas the others, the placebo. Now, it's important to conduct a randomised controlled trial. By that, I mean no one, the researchers, the patients, also those giving the different vaccines, don't actually know whether it is a placebo, that's meaning containing a non-medical product such as water, and the actual flu vaccine. Now, the findings were that it was safe to administer both vaccines in separate arms at the same time. I'm relieved there's data suggesting, or our data suggesting, safety, because lots of my patients are asking me that question.
And what about any side effects?
Well, Toby, fatigue was the main side effect, either a mild to moderate effect. I think a lot of people were saying they had that fatigue side effect anyway with the COVID vaccine. And there was one person who was taken to hospital with a severe headache.
Should these findings about safety maybe help to deliver the vaccinations in good time?
That's a very good point, Toby, because if we had to split the two vaccines, requiring two visits to GPs, pharmacies, vaccination centres, then the healthcare system, I think, would be overwhelmed. And we're hearing all the time how stretched the workforce is. I know pharmacies are very busy just now.
Elizabeth, you were also telling me about administrating several travel vaccinations at the same time.
Yes, for years, pharmacists, doctors, nurses, we've all administered the different vaccines, depending on which countries patients are going to. We can administer two vaccines in one arm, as long as they're separated by between 1 and 2 inches. And it's possible that some travellers have received 4 injections at the same time.
And of course, we know younger people are now being offered the vaccination. Would you recommend that they accept the offer?
I was reading, probably like a lot of people, about the tragic death of a 15-year-old at the weekend who died from COVID infection. Ironically, on the day she was due to get a vaccination. I mean, young people having serious symptoms after contracting COVID is very, very rare. In this case, it was something called myocarditis. Now, that's inflammation of the heart. And what happens is the heart rate goes way up and the heart may not be able to pump properly. The rhythm of the heart is disrupted. And that, of course, is a serious side effect of the vaccine itself. But I would like to emphasise that this side effect is very, very rare. But it has raised some questions with parents. I mean, on balance, I think vaccination is worth considering. Were the children given their childhood vaccinations, for example? But it's ultimately up to the individual.
And Elizabeth, if a 12 to 15-year-old wanted to have the vaccination and their parents said no, what would happen?
There is something to be called Gillick competence. Now, this goes back to a legal challenge in the 80s. And what it means is that if a child is deemed to be competent, then the child, him or herself, can decide to accept the vaccine without parental consent. But I think the healthcare professional would probably like to talk to both the parent and the child together first to try and get a consensus. I think that would be the best way forward.
Well, as always, some very useful information and advice there. Elizabeth, if people would maybe like to get in touch and ask for some advice, where can they go to find you?
All the W's, newlifepharmacy.co.uk, Toby.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks again, Toby.